UK, 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 UK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, January 30th. Another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the Civic Media app, our social media video feeds, or by podcast. We appreciate you taking us along to get your day going. I've got a question for you. Can we all just stop being so weird about Taylor Swift for a little while here? I mean, look, we're going to fuss over any celebrity singer who's, you know, dating a football player in this instance, but it's getting a little out of hand. Let the couple be, let the game unfold. We don't need to start culture wars or something like that over them. Let's just take it down a notch. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you want to tell me about the cultural implications of Tay-Tay up in the skybox. If so, hey, we've got a phone number here. You can use it, 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Call it, text it. Use the app if you like. Use your email machine, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, or put a comment on Facebook. We are on all kinds of Facebook pages where you can watch what we're doing here. Civic Media, Up North News, 93.5 The Tap out of Chippewa Falls, Bull Falls Radio out of Wausau, their Facebook page there. So you can follow along by video if you can't be near your favorite Civic Media station. And by the way, if it goes the other way, if you're watching us on Facebook and you just haven't really tuned in to find your closest Civic Media station, go fix that. Go to civicmedia.us. You'll find a map of all the stations around Wisconsin, the news talk ones and the music ones, and all the many shows that you can hear on air, online, and on demand. And you can check out what I do with the rest of my team over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Two of my teammates will be along in this half hour. Sherita Booker, our social media manager, will talk about the things that you've been clicking on our social media posts. And Christina Laurie puts together our morning newsletter, and she shares some of the stories that she's been working on lately and will be working on in the future. It is another mild, unseasonably warm day across Wisconsin, and it's going to stay that way, probably going to see record high temperatures tomorrow as warm air continues moving into the upper Midwest. Here's how it looks right now. There they are. Lake Wissota is at 38 degrees, and weird to say that on January 30th. Hayward is at 34, Park Falls 32, Wausau 35, Green Bay's at 34, La Crosse reporting 39 degrees right now, Wisconsin Rapids 35, Oshkosh 37, Madison 37, and it is 34 degrees right now in beautiful Waukesha, which is where we would find one Greg Bach, who is wrestling with computers and technology.
Oh, I won.
He's no longer sports update here. Greg Bach has won over technology. Congratulations.
I'd like to thank Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift.
How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm rough. It probably sounds that way. You're like, hey, the guy's got glasses on. He's got a little flannel thing going. He sounds like a guy that's been up most of the night. And you'd be right. But today is one of those special days where men of a certain age have to get certain things done, poking and prodding and things like that.
Did you have to drink the liquid?
Over in the kitchen, there's an empty pitcher and a whole bunch of Gatorade and an empty container of Miralax. And it's going to be one of those days. But
you're doing the good work, though.
I'm doing the right. That's what I keep hearing. And I turn to not only my own wife, the doctor, who keeps saying this is the right thing. We got to keep you healthy, but also Dr. Lyerly. I figure if they can talk about all these things that used to be embarrassing for women to talk about, then yeah, we can mention that today is a colonoscopy day. So I'm hoping that tomorrow I will report to you that all is right with the world as it was 10 years ago. And well, maybe you know, we don't have to do this for another 10 years, well, which would be kind of nice.
I'm sure
it'd be five, but hey, go ahead.
As a man who's doing what he's supposed to be doing, I have something for you right now.
Well, reserve some for the foundlings.
Ah, darn it.
As it should always be. The foundlings are the future. This is the way.
There it is. Got it. This is the way. That's all I wanted to do. Just a stupid this Mandalorian clip, and I couldn't get it for you.
Like I said, we're wrestling with technology today, and that's just fine. I don't have a problem with that. So, you know, another thing that we're going to get into, and by the way, I'm pretty close to dehydrated, so you're going to notice extra pauses for sips of water today. So I'll be throwing questions at you randomly, like, Greg, is it too soon to start reminding people about maybe thinking about a Valentine's Day gift?
No. And let me say something as you're sipping your water. Mm-hmm. Much like Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, if you don't like Valentine's Day, fine. I don't have a problem with that. But don't yuck other people's yum. Because some people like to go all out. Some people like to do some flowers. Some people like to do dinner. Some people like to do nothing. But like, Valentine's Day is just a Hallmark holiday. Well, maybe, yeah, but they're all Hallmark holidays at this point. So if someone likes to do something, just let them do that.
Yeah, we're very much in a live and let live kind of mindset here, because it just seems like lately, you can define lately however you want, but it went from being sarcastic, funny to just now you're just being a jerk, you know, with the way that you pile onto things. And so we always appreciate a good laugh, but you know, at some point you feel like you're piling on, whatever the case may be. And Valentine's Day is another good example of that. Let the people be who want to enjoy it, have fun with it. I personally, I saw an article here about, you know, gifts that you can get for under $50 for Valentine's Day. It's on a whole bunch of Wisconsin news sites this morning.
Yeah.
And that was my first reminder of, oh yeah, I do have to think about that, don't I?
Do you know it's a great one you can get your wife?
What?
You can make her a Funko Pop doll, like make her into one.
A what?
A Funko Pop doll. You know what Funko Pop doll is?
I don't think I do.
They're like little, they're just little dolls that have huge heads and weird eyes, and they make them for different movies and TV shows, comic books. There's hundreds of them, but you can get one custom made that resembles your partner.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. It's got to go better than, you know, my attempt at the Christmas gift, the glow tennis shoes that didn't light up after all. So I'm willing to try something else at this point, because right now, gift giving is not my forte lately. You go like two or three gifts and you realize you're just not hitting the mark, and then you start to feel the pressure. You know, you don't want to go too expensive, but you also realize I got to step this up a bit.
Well, so, my wife always gives like lists, and they're very utilitarian, but they're still nice. And mm-hmm. I always want to go outside the list.
Yes. Maybe use the list as a guide. Yeah. And you then, know, and say, hey, this might work.
Throughout the year, remember things they talk about. And just, you know, here and there, like, just throw away nothing. It's like, oh, I like this thing. And
that's how I got the light up shoe idea. I just, you know, should have actually bought shoes that lit up. So anyway, we may talk about these Valentine's gifts coming up in just a bit. But first, I want to tell you that starting tomorrow for the next 3 days, we're going to have a very informative section in our 7 o'clock, the first half hour of our 7 a.m. hour, with the three candidates running in the Democratic primary for the 3rd Congressional District. We have State Representative Katrina Shanklin on tomorrow at 7:05. We have Eau Claire business owner Rebecca Cook on Thursday at 7:05. And we have Eric Wilson on Friday at 7:05. So each of the next three mornings, We're going to have three people who are looking to unseat Republican Derek Van Orden. Now, the Democratic primary is in August, so there's still plenty of time for things to change in the race. But these are the three candidates looking for Democratic voters right now in that 3rd congressional district. So we hope that you tune in and are a part of that. Greg, I'm reminded from Roger, he's chimed in on Facebook. 5 years ago, we had a polar vortex. Many places had wind chills 50 to 60 below zero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh. I probably could have lived without that reminder, Roger. But no, it's nice to be reminded that that's what winter can be like here.
Roger, I mean this with all due respect. When you said that, I was like checking something else on the line. I was like, and? Nope, you're just bringing it up. Thanks, buddy.
Just reminding us that, hey, enjoy this. If enjoy is what you want to do, other people who'd like to be ice fishing or cross-country skiing, I understand. But those same people would also not like it to be 50 or 60 below either.
I'd like for the world not to be on fire.
Yeah. All of those things would be good. Yeah. But here we are. coming off a really warm year and coming off a climate that is doing wacky things like setting record highs, as we're going to find out today and over the next day or so here. Unpacking the news now at 6:17, Minnesota Congressman Dean Phillips is asking the Wisconsin Supreme Court to order that he be put on the April presidential primary ballot. Phillips argues that his request to be put on the ballot was illegally ignored by the State Elections Commission and the Wisconsin Presidential Preference Selection Committee, which is made up of Republican and Democratic leaders who bring forward names for the ballot. The justices are giving the selection committee and the State Elections Commission until tomorrow to respond. And then let's check one sports note here. A great matchup last night in Denver. Two recent champions going at it, the Nuggets and the Bucks. Doc Rivers' first game as coaching from the sidelines for the Bucks, and he said he saw the same thing coaching as he did watching from his couch. He sees a talented Milwaukee team that just needs a little more time and a little more work to take shape. The Bucks lost to the Nuggets in Denver last night, 113-107, but both teams put on a good performance. Giannis had 29 points and 12 rebounds for the Bucks. The Bucks are part of a 5-game road trip now, their longest of the season. Their next game will be in Portland. The return of Dame Lillard, who returns to face his former team after spending 11 seasons with the Portland Trail Blazers. You can catch the Bucks games on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, in Oshkosh, Amory, Racine, and Park Falls. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn much more about that. In the college men's basketball rankings, the Badgers jumped all the way up from number 13 to number 6 in the country. After that win over Michigan State last Friday night, they next play at Nebraska on Thursday. We'll unpack more of the news coming up in just a bit, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up in about a half hour is today's history lesson, and you'll find out more about why we're playing this snippet from the Beatles' last live performance together up on a very cold rooftop on this day in history. That's coming up, like I said, in just about a half hour or so. Let's visit now with Sherita Booker, our social media manager at Up North News, whether you're looking on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all around the World Wide Web. Just search us out, Up North News or Up North News WI, depending on the platform, and see the kinds of things we put up, some of it written and created by us, some of it sharing the content that makes Wisconsin a great place to live. Sherita, how are you?
Good. How are you today?
Very good, thanks. All right, so we've had quite the roller coaster winter-wise. But when winter works as it's supposed to, there are some great recreational opportunities and some sightseeing opportunities as well. And that would include something very beautiful and colorful in Lake Geneva, a post that got a lot of clicks and comments and likes. Tell us about it.
So this newest attraction in Lake Geneva is called Winter Realms, and it is formerly known as the Ice Castles. It's now open, and there's plenty of fun for the kiddos. They have ice slides, sleigh rides, tubing, igloos, and a whole lot more. Sandy Kenny said in the comments, they'll probably melt next week, temps in 40s every day. David Denemy said something similar. He said, we'll see after next week. Yeah, so I don't know how that works. Like, if the temps get too warm, is it just they just shut it down?
I think so, because then they could become, you know, a hazard if something melts and weakens. But, you know, there's still plenty of winter left, and there's going to be plenty of other sites to see. But, you know, this is a good one to keep in mind, especially with the name change. That when I think of ice castles, I think of that really cheesy movie from, I think it was 1980. And I can still kind of hear the song in the background. So I'm glad after all these years, they've decided to move on. So goodbye, Ice Castles, and hello to Winter Realms. For those of us who are not as jazzed up to be outdoors in the wintertime, you might want to be at some indoor park. I know I've brought our grandkids to some nice indoor parks, and there's a new one that's underway in a warehouse in Wauwatosa for you to tell us about.
Yeah, that's called Slick City. So it's an indoor slide park, and it's going to be open in August this year. And that park will feature 10 slides, zip lines, and all sorts of other fun. And it'll be nice in the winter. So it's another place to take your kids somewhere indoors so you don't have to worry about the weather. That post had more than 1,000 likes, almost 2,000 shares on Facebook, which is crazy. So people are really eager and excited to get there and bring the kids. A lot of tagging was going on underneath that post, tagging friends in the comments and saying, bring your kids here. I can't wait till this opens and stuff like that.
And that's cool. And by the way, just to make sure, you did hear right. It's a slide park, not a water slide park. It's a slide park. It's like a big old indoor playground, very colorful, all kinds of slides of varying heights and curves and things like that. So, you know, whether it's some people like, you know, trampoline parks, some people like batting cages, some people like the water parks, but this is a very interesting one worth checking out. And you can learn more by looking for the post over on our Facebook page. All right. We now know who's going to be in the Super Bowl, but we've already known it wasn't going to be the Packers. But as we look back at some of our more popular posts recently, the one that we'd put up back when we were still dreaming about the Super Bowl, that attracted a lot of attention. Sharita, tell us about it.
So we asked you, if the Packers make it to the Super Bowl, I will blank. So that post had almost 200 comments, and here are a few of what you guys said. So McKenna Claire said, have a heart attack, literally. Lisa Angel said, still be wearing the Packers sweatshirt I have on right now. I'm superstitious. Richard Anklum said, have a very large brandy old-fashioned suite.
Very traditional, very on brand. Good work there. That's great. We've also got somebody who understands opportunity. She writes, I'm going to go grocery shopping because it'll be Super Bowl Sunday. Enjoy the peace and quiet. Yes, that can be done with almost any Packer game. So that's certainly, and that still will be an option, you know, for this year's Super Bowl is, you know, so many people watch it, but yeah, it makes the stores that much quieter. So always nice when we see these kind of comments underneath, and, you know, for that and more, check out all of our social media posts. Sharita Booker puts them together for us. Just look for Up North News WI or Up North News on TikTok. And we'd love to have your comments on there and your ideas on other kinds of posts and other kinds of comments that we can drop in that space. Sharita, thanks very much. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
All right, coming up on 626 now, let's play a game called Match the Quote with the Member of Congress. If I told you a bipartisan immigration and border security deal was looking increasingly likely on Capitol Hill, and someone from Wisconsin said, I will have no part of it. They said they'd have no part of a bipartisan deal to increase border security. Who would that be? And if a different member of Congress said the following, we have long supported increased funding for comprehensive measures to enhance border enforcement, management, and security. Now, which one of those was Derek Van Orden, and which one of those was Tammy Baldwin? Here's the answer. The one who wants no part in actually doing something about improving border security instead of just fear-mongering about it, that would be Derek Van Orden. The one trying to get something passed to increase border security resources, that would be Tammy Baldwin. But here's how ridiculous the effort has become to get a bipartisan deal ever since Donald Trump opened his yap the other day and said it would be better not to pass any bill at all, despite he and other Republicans saying that this is some kind of a national emergency, that they don't want to do anything about it now. Well, some Republicans are still moving forward on it. Most prominent among them, U.S. Senator James Lankford, Republican of Oregon. I'm sorry, of Oklahoma. Oklahoma Republicans are so attached to Trump that the Oklahoma Republican Party just voted to censure their own U.S. Senator James Lankford for defending his efforts to put out a bipartisan border bill that former President Trump is attempting to stop. Lankford has been talking about the bill. He was asked by a Fox News host the other day, you know, wouldn't this give Biden a victory lap in an election year? And Lankford said this. He said, it's interesting. Republicans 4 months ago would not give funding for Ukraine, for Israel, and for our southern border because we demanded changes in policy. So we actually locked arms together and said, we're not going to give you money for this. We want a change in law. And now, interestingly, a few months later, when we're finally getting to the end, they're like, oh, just kidding. I actually don't want a change in law because it's a presidential election year. That's a Republican senator from Oklahoma calling out his own party for the ridiculousness, the recklessness that they are putting on display this week in, again, claiming they want the law to be changed. They want more resources going to the border. They accuse Democrats of wanting open borders. Democrats are actually pushing to get something done at the border, to get resources there, to get resources to Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and elsewhere. But because Donald Trump doesn't want anything done, they're not going to do anything on all of these important matters. Keep that in mind for between now and November. Christina Laurie tells us more about the newsletter we put out every day at upnorthnewswi.com next. First, Pam Yonke with our farm market update and more news that affects Wisconsin's rural economy. You're up north. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. Time for the uplift. Christina Laurie is here putting together our daily newsletter that you can get bright and early in the morning in your inbox at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Pat?
I'm good, thanks. You are an Illinois native and a proud alum, but you have really taken to Madison, to the life here, and especially to all things UW in Madison. And so we've got a kind of a UW heavy uplift this time around, which I think is very admirable. And so let's start with one of your newsletter stories about how the UW compares in cost and graduation rates and other things like that to other Big Ten schools. What are people learning from our newsletter about that?
Well, first, Pat, I just want to let you know. So what I think makes the UW so unique and what makes so many people like me who never even went there just pulled towards it is that it's really a statewide bonding experience. I mean, because of the way the UW system is, I mean, that's really like the school of Wisconsin. And down in Illinois, we have the University of Illinois, but then we have Northern Illinois, we have Eastern Illinois, we have Southern Illinois, we have Northwestern, University of Chicago, and those are all different. So it's not, you're not united all as Illini there, like everyone is a Badger.
Yeah, there's definitely that cohesion. And even if you are a Pointer or a Blue Gold or a Phoenix, I mean, you still, in many ways, identify with, you know, that there is a flagship school that appeals to the whole state.
Yeah, I mean, and just in terms of sports, you know, like all of the schools in Illinois, they have different D1 teams. Here, if you go to UW-Whitewater, you're still probably excited to come to Camp Randall and root on the Badgers on Saturday. Yeah. And that's why this study was so interesting. So the Big Ten, every year they release its annual ranking of all its schools in terms of tuition, graduation rate, and post-graduation salary, so that especially this time of year, prospective students can see, you know, what school is the best fit for them. And there's a lot of good news for anyone considering attending Wisconsin. So in terms of undergraduate tuition cost, Wisconsin has the fourth lowest in-state undergrad tuition in the Big Ten, behind only Nebraska, Purdue, and Iowa. It's really nice to know in-state students pay roughly $11,000 a year. At Illinois, I was in-state there, I paid $28,000 a year, and they really only gave scholarships for perfect 36 ACT scores. So Wisconsin, you are very lucky, and I am very envious. In terms of graduate tuition, that's they're also fourth behind the same schools as undergrad tuition. And then average salary 10 years after graduation, basically the question of, did you make a good deal? Wisconsin drops two spots, but they're still ranked six, which is in the top half of the Big Ten. That's no longer 10. Topic for a different day.
Right.
But 10 years after receiving their diploma, the average Badger is making $68,000 a year. And it's important to note that this data is off of 2022's findings. So hopefully that average tuition has increased with the price of inflation. If you're wondering what Big Ten school earns the most 10 years after graduation, Pat, do you want to guess?
Minnesota.
Northwestern.
Northwestern. Oh, okay. All right.
Academically, I do think that they're probably the hardest of the Big Ten to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And the conference average is $66,000 a year. So across the board, wherever you attend, I mean, the Big Ten seems like it still is a good deal.
And again, all of these things are going to be skewed like crazy when you start to fold in UCLA, USC, who knows what else is coming in. These conferences don't even mean anything anymore. It's just a shame.
And even within individual schools, they're so skewed, because if you got an LAS degree or you graduated with a master's in engineering, that's going to be wildly different salaries.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, okay. So along with comparing them that way, you can compare them in other areas, and mascots would certainly be one of them. And I know, because we've talked to Dr. Lyerly about this a few times, because she for years was Goldie Gopher. You know, these are schools that take their mascots very seriously.
Wow, I didn't know that she was Goldie Gopher. They yes. have a lot of it's fun. If you ever look into who can like become Bucky Badger, they're sworn to secrecy. They're not allowed to tell anyone else that they are the mascot. Two Buckies can never appear in the same place at the same time, because you'd hate to ruin that magic. But there's a fun power ranking by SaturdayTradition.com of the Big Ten mascots. Number one is actually Goldie Gopher. So good for Dr. Lyerly on that.
Yes, she was going on about that last week sometime, and the fact that Goldie's head spins, and there's something in the article, I guess, about that as well that explains that particular tradition. So, yeah, Goldie Gopher. What else?
Well, in this ranking, it's funny, the little GIF that's included for Goldie Gopher is Goldie pelting the Wisconsin welcomes you sign with snowballs.
Of course. So,
it's funny. But let's move on. Number two is Brutus Buckeye. He got a lot of points for his originality because, I mean, he's wearing a nut on his head. Three is Sparty, and then Bucky comes in at number four. Mm-hmm. Some fun facts about Bucky is that his full name is actually Buckingham U Badger, but the U doesn't stand for anything.
Right. So it's like the S in Harry S. Truman. Sometimes exactly. things just don't stand. Sometimes things are just a letter.
That is exactly what this article had said.
Mm-hmm.
You guys were simpatico.
Yeah.
And then just to round out the rest of the top 10, five is Herky the Hawkeye. Six is the Nittany Lion. Seven is Herbie Husker. I'm still in denial that Nebraska is really part of the Big Ten, but they are.
That's really kicking it old school.
I know. I remember the days when
still fighting that battle. All right.
Penn State was the latest addition.
Mm-hmm.
8 was Willie the Wildcat. He wasn't very original. And then I guess the list stops there.
Yeah, because there's still some things that, I mean, hard to identify what some of these mascots are.
Yeah, some schools too don't have mascots. Illinois, right. They keep trying to reignite the debate and vote on a different mascot. Mm-hmm. And they're just always so dumb. When I was in school, there was like a school-wide referendum to try to get the squirrel as the mascot because there's a lot of squirrels on campus. But my question is, what campus doesn't have squirrels?
Right.
Like how is that a definitively Illinois characteristic? Right. The only one I could kind of get behind is if we leaned into something with Lincoln, you know, like it's something that is uniquely Wisconsin.
I was going to go with the Daleys. I mean, you've got a family political dynasty there. You know, why not have a Daley in there?
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
Okay, people who don't follow Chicago politics can be forgiven. I'm sorry about that. Let's get back to the UW here and a big milestone for Greg Gard.
Yeah, so Tuesday night, the Badgers, speaking of Minnesota, beat them by just 2 points to win that border battle. And Coach Gard secured his 100th win, his 100th Big Ten win as head coach. That's a big deal. It really blew up. We shared this on our social media pages. It exploded. We shared a fun little video of the athletes, of Greg walking into the locker room and all the athletes throwing confetti on him and surprising him. It was just a sweet celebration. You kind of forget. It seems, I don't know, you'll have to tell me, maybe I'm reading this wrong, but it feels like Bo Ryan has been gone for a while. Mm-hmm. And Gard only took off over at the end of 2015. So this was a pretty quick surge to 100 Big Ten victories. I mean, Big Ten's competitive. A lot of good schools there. A lot of consistently top 25 ranked teams. So to have 100 wins against them is a really big deal. And another just fun note about this year in particular is that the UW recently published a list of all the border battles they won this year. And Wisconsin won in basically every sport. Football, mm-hmm. basketball, women's basketball, women's hockey, men's hockey, volleyball. I mean, it's just across the board. They are dominating. It's really fun.
It's nice to have a tradition of excellence that way. So good on them. And by the way, if I didn't mention it earlier, the Badgers take on Nebraska, that alleged Big Ten team, in Lincoln, coming up Thursday at 7:30 on stations across the Civic Media Network. And you can also listen off the Civic Media app and find out how the Badgers are doing now that you've learned so much more about the UW. Christina Laurie, thanks for putting those stories and much more in our newsletter and on Wisconsin. We'll talk to you later on.
I can't co-sign that. We didn't play Illinois yet.
I know.
We'll have that match at the end of the month. That's nice talking to you, Pat.
See ya. Greg.
Yeah.
We talked in that segment there about mascots and about Goldie Gopher from the University of Minnesota spinning its head.
Yeah.
So when Kristen mentioned that last week, she later sent me a link. And the link was to an article that said something about, you know, the Goldie head spinning thing. And I didn't think anything of it. Well, I just thought, well, she's just given a little bit of trivia. I'm looking at the article right now, and naturally she plays a key role in this debate over who was first to spin Goldie Gopher's head. And so different people were taking credit for it. But later, one of the Goldies credits, it says here, Kristen Lyerly, the football Goldie from 1989 to 1991, for popularizing the move. Lyerly, a Wisconsin native and OBGYN in Green Bay, was the second female Goldie and the last from the marching band before the athletic department took over the mascots.
She was and a marching so band nerd.
Yeah. Well, but she didn't play any instruments. I forget if she played like the triangle or something like that, but apparently she did it and it got really popular. And so they still don't agree on who did it first, but in this article, apparently she made it rather popular the way that she did it. Of course she did. Everywhere.
That's the only way I'll accept the news. Don't you dare contradict Dr. Lyerly.
No, Lyerly told the Minnesota Post she had seen the Iowa State mascot Spinheads at a summer mascot camp and decided to incorporate the shtick. Unaware that others had already done it, Lyerly said, "I thought this is really cool. Maybe I could do that." This time it caught on with the band itself cheering for Lyerly to spin her head. So yeah, it only stands to reason. By the way, a couple of great old photos here of Lyerly and Goldie. So
you just sent that to me, and also you just sort of walked past that statement, mascot summer camp.
Yes, I did, didn't I? Yes, I did.
I thought band camp was a place for
nerds. I was going to go there too, and holy I'm wondering what the doctor will have to say about that at some point. She will be joining us on Thursday for her Women Win Wisconsin segment. But yeah, for all the talk about mascots, it turns out Kristen played a role in history, I guess, in some way, shape, or form about it. Now, I did mention that the Badger men, the basketball team, is at Nebraska on Thursday, jumping up to number 6 in the rankings. I wanted to hit a couple of other quick notes on there. The Marquette men's team is ranked 14th in the nation. They are 2nd in the Big East. They will be at Villanova tonight. The Badger women's basketball team is at Ohio State Thursday. The Marquette women's basketball team is at Creighton tomorrow. And then in hockey, the Badger men's hockey team fell from number 3 to number 4, but they will be at home to take on the Gophers, the 9th-ranked Gophers, on Friday and Saturday. The Badger women's hockey team swept UMD. They have a 9-game winning streak going, so they're number 2 in the country. They have a home series Saturday and Sunday against number 10 St. Cloud State. And in Division 3, UW River Falls, the women's hockey team, number 1 in the country still, undefeated still, 21-0, with 2 games to go. The UW Eau Claire women are ranked number 7 in the country in Division 3. And for the Division 3 men, UW Stevens Point is ranked 8th in the country, and the Eau Claire Blue Golds ranked 14th right there. So there's a little sports update for you. Coming up next, we're going to have today's history lesson and some musical memories. First, a reminder to download that Civic Media app. Get it free at your favorite app store or through Google Play. You can search on that app for any of the local stations that you'd like to tune into. You can use the call and text buttons to interact with the show as well. We'd love to hear from you. Live from Chippewa Falls, this is Up North News Radio. This would be the Shirelles, Will You Love Me Tomorrow? It was the number one song on this day, January 30th, 1961. It was the first big hit for the songwriting team of Carole King and Jerry Goffin. On this day in 1847, the town of Yerba Buena, California, got a new name. It was renamed San Francisco. No longer Yerba Buena, California, on this day in 1847. On this day in 1969, the Beatles played a performance up on the roof of Apple Records, so only later would it be, you know, made historic by noting it would be their last final public performance. The concert was eventually shut down by police after they played about a half a dozen songs or so. Get Back, most notably among them. Don't Let Me Down, we played that one a little bit earlier as well. It seemed like it was much more of just a rehearsal, kind of an air check thing that they decided to play upstairs, but it would be the last time that they would play together. On this day in 1956, Martin Luther King Jr.'s home was bombed in retaliation for the Montgomery bus boycott. Let's do some birthdays now. Let's see. Phil Collins. Let's start with him. He is 72 years old today. Just to remind you, obviously a very successful solo career. After a good long run as the singer and drummer for Genesis. Actor Gene Hackman is 94 years old today, still with us. Dick Cheney, former vice president, is 83. Marty Balin of Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship, and Starship was born this day in 1942. Passed away in 2018. Jody Watley is 65 years old today. That one seems off, but again, an 80s singer turning 65 today. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson is 52 years old today. Actor Christian Bale is 50. Greg, you probably do a dead-on impression of Christian Bale, don't you?
As Batman, I do.
Yep, there it is.
Very
I mean,
good.
I can't even tell. Or wait, is that Michael Keaton? There's just a little nuance.
Let's get nuts.
On this day in 1988, INXS landed their first and only number one hit in the U.S. with Need You Tonight.
This song's so good.
I do. I love it. Yep. Again, this is as classic 80s as it gets. I almost feel like I'm back at Shenanigans or Trader and Trapper in Eau Claire.
I love it when you talk about the old haunts.
Oh God, I loved going down. We would leave. We lived in dorms on the upper campus, and anybody who knows the UW-Eau Claire campus knows there's this big hill that you go down if you want to get down to the lower campus and then out to Water Street. And we'd go down to Water Street, and we would be just bundled up. We'd be so cold. That footbridge was just so cold. But every time we'd walk back at bar time, our coats were open, and we were so cold because we were so sweaty because we'd been dancing and drinking for hours on Water Street. And I cannot believe more of us didn't die of pneumonia or something like that. But, you know, we learned if the antidote to cold weather, dance. Just dance. That's the way it'll get done.
Pat Kreitlow is not a doctor, nor is anything he says endorsed by the Doctors Association of America. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be very upset with him tomorrow when she hears about this.
That's right. Today, speaking of cold weather, and again, it's not all that cold right now, but today is National Escape or Plan a Vacation Day. So I would think most people have got their winter vacations planned by now, but I know I have mine planned for, just a couple more weeks here.
Really?
So, yep.
Okay.
Oh, look at this. Roger's paying attention. With apologies to Pat's wife, when Daryl Hall and John Oates reached number one on this day in 1982 with I Can't Go For That, No Can Do, it replaced Olivia Newton-John's Physical, which was number one for the 10 weeks prior. I like that Roger remembers that my wife, not a big Hall & Oates fan. Well, not a big fan at all.
Well, for her, then I give her this.
You dare me to draw the there you line. Go. You
got the body. I just don't get it, Dr. Kreitlow. I don't get it.
I don't either. I don't. I'm always so surprised by that. But, you know, everybody's got their thing. And thankfully, she's at work right now. So she's
it's not like this. Any of this. Yeah. Christmas is coming.
How long have you been hanging on to that Paul McCartney clip just to get under my skin?
Oh, I have it ready at all times, friend. At all times.
Well played. Well played. And only really one other note on the calendar today. This is National Croissant Day, or for those of you who prefer, National Croissant Day. Which sounds more like a sound effect than any attempt to speak French.
I love the old Dennis Miller lines, like, America ruins everything. The French gave us the croissant, and we turned it into the Chris sandwich.
We did. We did, and I loved it. I loved when that thing first came out. And the thing about croissants and other fine pastries is, and I know I said this recently about bagels as well, is you really got to tip your cap to the people who get it right. And I saw, you know, an article somewhere on the web getting set for this. It was all about making, you know, the perfect croissant and how much work goes into it. And the same goes for popovers. And we stayed with some friends over the weekend. We went to go visit them, and he prides himself on his popovers, but he said he's been on a streak lately, like the last four, five, six times that he's tried to make popovers, they're not popping. And he's made them plenty of times before. It's making him crazy to figure out what he's doing wrong, to the point where they didn't pop on Sunday morning and he was very embarrassed. And we were like, no, they're delicious. They're great.
They're fine.
Well, you didn't want to be fine. So about, I don't know, four or five hours later, after we're back home, his wife sends video of him trying to make another batch on their own later that day, just because he was, and that one didn't turn out either. So he's still trying to figure out. I told him to get, that he needed to get TikTok and just start watching videos there, because you can pretty much get a video on anything. So whether you're making popovers or croissants or bagels or anything that, you know, takes more than plopping a frozen dough loaf in a pan, God bless you. And bring some to share next time you stop by. We love freshly baked goods here. In our next hour, we're going to talk to Jerry Clark about the importance of farm education all across Wisconsin. That's in our second hour of Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.